This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, September 20th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. On the memorial of the martyrs, St. Andrew Kim Taejon, Paul Chung-ha, and their 103 Korean companions. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us to start your week. It's always great to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I want to remind you that you can always download any Morning Air show or any segment of our shows that you might want to share with others. All you have to do is go to our Relevant Radio app, go to Shows on Demand to download our podcasts on the Relevant Radio app, and at relevantradio.com. It's super easy and it only takes just a moment. Keep in mind that St. John Paul II once said, it's not enough to know Christ. You must introduce him to others. Sharing compelling segments from shows is a very easy way to share the message of Christ with your friends and family. Now, on Monday mornings, there's always a lot going on in the news. Glenn, much of the world has been paying attention, especially in this country, of the story that has been developing in recent days. A rainbow appeared in Wyoming, in the area where authorities on Sunday discovered what they believed to be the body of 22-year-old Gabby Petino in the Grand Teton National Park. This story, for some reason, has really captivated the media and so many people across our country, Glenn.
Well, it certainly has, and it looks like it has come to a sad ending. The father of Gabby, missing Florida woman, believed to have been found dead at Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. She was on a cross-country road trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundry. He came back without her to Florida and has since gone missing himself now and said to be a person of interest in that case.
Yeah, it seems rather odd that he's just vanished, and no one seems to know where he is, including his family.
Yeah, absolutely. And, experts commenting on it say that could point to some guilt in the matter.
Absolutely. One other story that we are looking at is the situation with the Haitian migrants down in the southern border. What's going on with that?
Well, we know, John, that for months, if not years, the Texas border has really been filled with those seeking asylum in the U.S. one way or the other. And the latest people group to be there in mass, a group of up to about 14,000, a little over 14,000 Haitians in the last few weeks. That number, again, late in the week, up to about 14,500 or so. Now, the Border Patrol says that number is down to around 2,000 over the last few days as they brought in extra troops. But they'd been kind of camping out under a bridge near Del Rio, Texas, west of San Antonio, heading back to the Mexican side, wading through the Rio Grande, not very deep at that point, to get food and supplies and come back camping out on the U.S. side. But U.S. authorities have been removing them and, when possible, flying them back to Haiti.
And I imagine that these Haitian migrants refugees are the result of the terrible earthquake, 7.2 magnitude earthquake last month.
Well, that, on top of not really recovering the country from the earthquake a few years before that and just crushing poverty and violence on a fairly regular basis as well.
The Holy Father had an interesting message yesterday in the Angelus at the Vatican. He said that in God's eyes, success is measured not on what someone has, but on what someone gives. Very inspiring, powerful words by the Holy Father.
Yep, we got to watch out for this, especially as Christians. He said, in God's eyes, greatness and success measured not by social position, job, title, or wealth, but by service. Not what someone has, but what someone gives. He said to do this well means acting like Jesus, who came into the world not to be served, but to serve.
Absolutely. A servant's heart, it's not what the world says. He with the most toys wins, but having that servant's heart. Thanks, Glenn, as always.
Hey, sure, John. And just a quick thanks on the heels of what Karen Fryhammer said last hour. Thanks to all those who showed up at the Twin Cities Christ Brings Hope dinner last Thursday. Great to see so many folks out there, too.
Absolutely. Sounds like it was a fantastic event. I'm so glad that you were able to be a part of it.
Yeah, and people just so happy to be out doing those real things again. Definitely.
For sure. Thanks, Glenn. We start every hour here on Morning Air giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings. Every day is a gift, and we always ask through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up momentarily, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will be with us to discuss the meaning of the main aisle of the church, which is a symbol of our journey of life, starting with the procession from our baptism all the way to the altar. And a little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, will join us to talk about the question, why have you stayed Catholic? This will be a fascinating discussion. We'll also bring you another new episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 15:14. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that our Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and has promised to also resurrect all those who believe and live for him. This is the greatest revelation of the Christian faith. If Jesus is risen, then he is God. If he is God, then all of his revelations, affirmations, and promises of him must be true. Although we still carry our crosses every day and participate in the suffering of Christ, we live the love, the joy, the freedom of the life of the risen Christ, and we hope to live the perfection of that life one day face to face with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. With your strong faith, live the risen life of Christ to the fullest and pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ leads us in this pilgrim journey of faith. We have to remember that this world is not our home, but heaven is. The church and the Mass is a foretaste of heaven, leading us in the journey back to God. And in many ways, the main aisle of the church represents this spiritual journey of life. And now joining us to talk about the meaning of the main aisle is our spiritual director today, Father Burke Masters, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain, also known as the baseball priest, as well as the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. Good morning, Father Burke. Welcome back. It's always great to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's always great to be with you as well.
Father Burke, this is very fascinating to talk about all the many symbols and signs that our Catholic faith has. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of these symbols in a typical Catholic church, even before you even walk into church, on the outside, before you come in?
Yeah, we're doing this adult faith formation program in the diocese called Be Formed, and we're kind of walking people through the Mass, and a lot happens even before Mass begins. So when you get to the parking lot of the church, or maybe some people walk to church, there are different things that are happening as you're even before you enter the church. For example, many churches have a plaza or a piazza, an area outside the church where people gather. It's kind of this preparation to say, okay, I'm entering someplace that's different. We would say in church language, we're leaving the profane, meaning like the secular world, and we're entering this church, which is a sanctuary. It's a house of God. And then if you look at the front of many churches, you know, there'll be statues, there might be scripture quotes on the facade of the church, kind of showing, you know, this is the house of God, there's something special. And then as you enter the kind of outside doors, maybe the church has a vestibule or a narthex, this gathering area where it's kind of a third transition, if you will, from, you know, the outside world into church. And then, you know, the door that enters the church. And what we're trying to do is to help raise awareness for people to say, you know, this isn't like going to a movie theater or, you know, going shopping. This is a sacred place where, you know, Jesus is present in the Eucharist, and it's this place where heaven meets earth. And so when you open the door to the church, the actual church area, I want us to be aware of, okay, I need to prepare my heart for meeting the Lord. So you have those kind of transitions going from the parking lot into this sacred place of the church.
And once you're in, I was going to say, once you're inside the church, Father, many churches have a baptismal font, usually close to the entrance. And it's sort of a symbol of the beginning of our spiritual life with the sacrament of baptism.
Exactly. And I realize as we're saying this, you know, some places may have the baptismal font in other areas, but traditionally the baptismal font is right inside the door of the church, because the baptismal font is representative of this entrance into the family of God. You know, when we're baptized, we become sons and daughters of God, just like when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and God the Father said, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I delight. God claims us as his beloved sons and daughters at our baptism, and it's this entrance into the church. And, so I would encourage you to pay attention to that symbol of the baptismal font. When we make the sign of the cross, and I realize in COVID, maybe many of our baptismal fonts are empty, but just to make the sign of the cross, normally we do it with the holy water as a reminder. Oh, this is a reminder of my baptism when I became a child of God as I enter the church.
And even though some churches have not had holy water in the baptismal font or even around the church, there's been plenty of bottles of holy water that have been available in a lot of places. In fact, that's what we've been doing, is we just had holy water in little holy water bottles to always make that sign of the cross as well.
Yeah, and I've heard of some churches even having like dispensers where you don't touch anything, like you would maybe to get hand sanitizer. They have holy water in those receptacles, so people are getting creative. But it's an important sign in our faith that remembrance of our baptism whenever we enter church. And I'd also encourage you to look at the shape of your baptismal font. They can come in many different sizes and shapes. You know, some are eight-sided, and that's to represent the resurrection. A couple different symbols there are, you know, they said the women went to the tomb on the first day of the week, which we would say is Sunday. If you count 7 days after that, so the next Sunday would be the eighth day. And it's also seven. There were 7 days of creation, and Jesus formed everything new. So it's like the eighth day. So there, many baptismal fonts have eight sides, kind of representing the resurrection, the Lord's day. We have a baptismal font here in our diocese that's kind of shaped in the form of a tomb, almost, or like a grave. And that symbolism is, and we use the language in baptism, you know, as we enter the waters, as we descend into the waters, we die with Christ, and then we rise with him to new life. So it's this symbolism of dying to my old self and coming out a new creation, this child of God. Often the water is running. You know, you might hear the water running during Mass. It's that sign that Jesus is the living water. And when we come to him, we'll never thirst again. So there are many symbols just in the baptismal font.
It's amazing, Father, when you think of all the amazing symbols that are in our churches. Let's talk about the main aisle. So you go from the baptismal font down the main aisle all the way up to the steps of the altar. Can you give us some symbolism behind the main aisle leading up to the altar?
Sure. So, yeah, usually right from the baptismal font. Traditionally, in churches, you'll see that main aisle going up to the altar, and it's symbolic of our life's journey. And there's so many processions that happen in our lives and at Mass that symbolize that. One, this earth is not our home. You know, we're sojourners. We're on a journey. We're pilgrims. And so, again, I want to make us think about this as we enter church and we walk down the main aisle. Start to think, wow, this is symbolic of my journey back to God. It really hit me last week as I was doing a funeral. As we brought the coffin in of the deceased person, you know, we stop at the baptismal font, and what do? We bless the coffin, and we say, you know, as this person died with Christ, may he or she rise with Christ in his resurrection. And then we place a white pall over the coffin, which is symbolic of their baptism. You know, when we baptize somebody, we put a white garment on them, symbolizing their new life in Christ. And so the pall that we put on a coffin is representative of their own baptism, that this person began their journey at the baptismal font, becoming a child of God. And then we process up the main aisle with pallbearers. And those pallbearers are symbolic of those people who journey with us along the way. And we come up to the altar, and what's waiting for us in front of the altar is the Easter candle. And that Easter candle, if we go back to our baptism, was it represents Christ, the light of Christ. So when somebody is baptized, we light their baptismal candle from the Easter candle, and we give that candle to the parents and godparents and say, receive the light of Christ, and it's your responsibility to keep the light of Christ alive in this child until they can, you know, make the faith their own. And so Christ, if you will, is waiting for them at the altar after this journey of life, and it's so beautiful. And then you think about between those two points of our baptism and then our funeral mass, you know, we have our first communion where we process up that aisle, often with our parents, to receive the body of Christ for the first time. Confirmation, you have a confirmation sponsor who journeys with you up that aisle as you're confirmed in the faith and the stirring of the Holy Spirit that we received at our baptism. At our weddings, you know, the beautiful bride is escorted up the aisle by her father traditionally, another journey where her groom waits for her at the altar, and both of them, you know, it kind of symbolizes this life journey, and then both of them are meeting all of our bridegroom, who is Christ, you know, in the Eucharist, and this symbolism that, you know, their life is a journey, and the goal of marriage is to help one another get to heaven, and so all of these processions are representative of this journey of our baptism, our beginning with Christ, and our ending with Christ. And to be aware of this as we go to church, that it's not a place just to go to be entertained by a good homily or music, but it's this encounter with God. And if you look up, you know, from the baptismal font to the main altar, often the altar is elevated. You go up a few stairs, which is a sign that, you know, it's this ascent to this place of heaven, and it's at the altar where heaven meets earth in the body and blood of Christ. So many symbols that are meant to, whether we're conscious of it or not, to draw our attention to this is a place that we journey from God back to God.
Father Burke, what can we do to be more conscious, to be more aware of some of these beautiful symbols? I mean, at a typical Sunday Mass, you see the entrance procession led by the crucifix, which is the symbol of symbols. We preach Christ crucified, St. Paul says, as we see that crucifix coming in into the church to start the Mass.
Yeah, so, and that's another beautiful sign that, you know, when we're in the entrance procession, it's led by the crucifix and then servers and the deacon and the priest. The crucifix is facing, you know, the altar as we process in. So as a priest or somebody in the procession, I can't necessarily see Christ, but I know he's leading us on this journey. And I think that's such a powerful symbol for us that on our journey of life, sometimes we don't see Christ or we don't understand what's happening. But we trust that Jesus is leading us back to the Father. That was Jesus' mission, to save us by dying on the cross and to help return all of us. He doesn't want to lose any of us back to the Father. He says, all that you've given me, you know, I return to you. And the same thing happens at the end of Mass when we process out of church as the crucifix leads us. It's that sign that Christ is leading us after we've been filled with, you know, the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. Now we're called to go out and share him. We process out with Christ leading us on this mission.
Well, Father Burke, I so much appreciate you giving us this instruction on some of the symbols, the beauty of the symbols in our Catholic faith that so oftentimes we just take for granted when we go to Mass. But I appreciate it very, very much.
You're welcome. And in this time of COVID, when you know, I just want to encourage those who maybe afraid to go back to church, or maybe have gotten comfortable watching Mass, to, you know, to really go back to church and experience the beauty of the symbols that that help, you know, connect us with our Lord in the Mass.
Thanks again. Father Burke Masters, the director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and the baseball priest. We need to take a break when Morning Air continues. Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, will join us to talk about the important question, why have you stayed Catholic? Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
30 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on a Monday morning. Now, coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, jot it down, put it in your phone if you have to. If you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now let's talk about our Catholic faith and why we stay Catholic in these challenging times when so many people have left the church. In the business world, when a company starts to lose existing customers, many try to survey their lost customers to learn why they left instead of asking the most loyal customers why they continue to buy the company's products, and then build on these strengths as well as the things that differentiate the company. Now joining us is Marcel Lejeune to talk about this important question, why have you stayed Catholic? Marcel is the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, a Catholic apostle that works with Catholic leaders to form missionary disciples who then make missionary disciples. Good morning, Marcel. Welcome back to Morning Air. Always great to be with you. I find today's topic fascinating.
Thanks, John. It's good to be with you, too.
Absolutely. I also enjoyed your blog by the same very title of Why You Stay Catholic. Talk to us about how this whole thing developed, this perspective that you wrote about.
Yeah, I was on a conference call being led by one of our bishops, and there is a Catholic entrepreneur who he kind of spoke up. We were talking about how do we evangelize better. We were just having a small discussion between about four people, and the bishop was curious as to our perspective as to stuff, and he was asking, and it was great. This Catholic entrepreneur made a great insight, which is what you just said, is that most of these businesses want to know why people stop buying their product. And he said, I think this is the wrong strategy. He said, if somebody stops buying your product, that's not really where, it doesn't tell you what you're doing right. It just tells you somebody doesn't like you or doesn't like your product. He said, what companies really need to be doing, and the smart ones do this, is they find out why people are still buying your product, why they are loyal to your product, why they really care about your product, and then you double down on your strengths. And he said, I think that we, as Catholic evangelists, ought to really be doing this. We ought to be figuring out exactly why Catholics stay Catholic, why they grow as Catholics, what makes them strong Catholics, and then we really need to build on those strengths. Now, that doesn't mean we don't work on our weaknesses. That doesn't mean we don't, you know, try to. But I think it was a really, really smart thing to do. So what I did was, you know, I kind of put a bug in my ear, and it really was something that I found intriguing and a strategy that I wanted to try to start to implement. So the first thing I did is I went to social media, and I posted the question, why do you stay Catholic? Why have you stayed Catholic? Personal testimonies. Tell me why. I got hundreds of responses. Now, you could probably group most of them into categories, in a sense, of things you might expect. The number one reason was Jesus, which is great, because if God is God and Jesus is God, right, if Jesus is who he says he is, then we ought to be following him. We're his disciples. That's the number one reason.
That should be the number one reason.
Yeah, it should be the number one reason we're Catholic, is because Jesus is God, right? And because I believe that, and that this is his church, and it was some kind of take on that. And the next one, of course, was the Eucharist and the sacraments. And the next one after that was because I believe it's true. And there was a lot of really, really good testimony about why people stayed Catholic, and it was very encouraging to me. And you know, I think this is the kind of thing that could help us, because it was encouraging to a lot of people who were reading the responses right along with me on social media. Folks really were, they were thinking about, why am I Catholic still? And then they were also reading other people's answers and encouraged by that.
Marcel, what were some of the answers that touched you the most, that struck you the most?
Yeah, you know, there were personal testimonies like, I've been real hurt by the church. It's been difficult for me. But in the midst of it all, knowing that I have this cross, whatever it might be, you know, I know that this is true and this is what God wants of me, and that Jesus is Lord. So where else would I go? I think that was a kind of a repeating theme as well. Where else would I go? It's kind of like Peter, right? In John chapter 6, we have that story of Jesus teaching on the Bread of Life discourse, where he goes again, he's talking about, you know, you must eat my body and drink my blood, right? And it will give you life eternal. And the Jews, of course, misunderstood him. They misunderstood him because they thought he was talking about cannibalism and literally, you know, eating him right there. And they grumbled and they mumbled and they argued amongst themselves about this guy because he didn't make any sense and he was speaking so crazy. And then in John 6, chapter, verse 66, we know it says, and some of his followers no longer followed him due to this teaching. They left and he let them walk away. And his response was to turn to the 12 and say, do you also want to leave? And here we get that response of Simon Peter, who says, Lord, to whom else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I think that's the response of many Catholic disciples today, right? They might be scandalized by some of the terrible things that have happened over the course of their lifetime from leaders who betrayed the church and God and their vows.
Marcel,
maybe they were hurt by somebody. Maybe they had a bad experience in a particular parish. Maybe they struggle with certain teachings. But all those things add up to still, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because I believe you speak the truth. The church speaks the truth. This is all true. And my conscience tells me this is my home. This is my family. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is the path of salvation. where else am I supposed to go? And I think that to me is very touching, John, because what it tells me is that somebody has intimately known the Lord and his church, and even through all the midst of hurt and pain, says, you know what, I'm not going anywhere else. This is my family. This is what it's supposed to be like.
Marcel, you said the Lord and his church. I think it's very important for us to recognize that it's Jesus' church. Yes, we're part of the body of Christ, but ultimately it's Jesus who established his church on the rock of Peter. How many of the folks responded in terms of talking about that the church was founded on Jesus and his apostles?
Yeah, we had quite a number. And that's something very important, right? The apostolic witness of the church and the founding of on the apostles, because of course then we know, we have this witness down through the ages from pope to pope to pope, from bishop to bishop to bishop, that this is true. This is how God wanted it. He gave us a witness in the tradition of the church, right? That this is how it's supposed to be. And in the scriptures it says, you know, that hands were laid on Timothy by Paul, and all of these ways of being ordained into the ministry of leading the church. And that is both, remember, this is both leadership, but it's leadership as servant. Servant leadership really means to lay down their life. We were reminded about that in the readings this past week, where, you know, it's the first shall be last and the last shall be first. If you want to be first, then you should be the first in service, the first to lay down your life, because that's what leadership really, true leadership in the model of Jesus Christ requires. How did he show us how to lead? Well, he literally laid down his life. Now, most of us are only called to do that figuratively, but leadership really is modeled on that. And so for a lot of Catholics who understand apostolic succession and this idea that the church is given to us, but given to the apostles to lead us in service, then rightly so, of course, we should understand that, you know, I'm supposed to follow. I'm supposed to follow the Pope and the bishops and the magisterium of the church and the doctrines and the teachings of the church. Because, you know, if you're like me, and I know many, many listeners probably are, you get to a point where you're studying the doctrines of the church, and maybe you bump up against a difficult teaching or something that you really struggle against, you know, a moral teaching or a doctrine that you just don't quite understand that's hard. And you get to that point, and I remember when I was a young adult getting to that point and thinking to myself, but I've read the church fathers, you know, those early couple of hundred years church fathers, and I've read the scriptures, and I believe that Jesus is God, and he established a church. Now, this particular doctrine has been taught for 2,000 years. Who am I to say that it's wrong? Who am I in the judgment of all these great saints and the scriptures and our Lord to say this is wrong when the church has always said it is true? And I think that can help people as well, because to me, the apostolic understanding of the church helps us all to understand this truth is given to us to help us, not to just be a struggle for us, and it can help us when we consent to it.
Marcel, throughout the ages, there's always been types of Judas throughout the centuries in our church, going all the way back to John 6, as you alluded a few minutes ago. Can you talk about the idea you don't leave Jesus because of Judas?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I did all weekend, I was doing an online Catholic conference on evangelization, and I'm reminded in that there are people who have left because of Judas. And if you think about those who have betrayed the church now, you know, some very high-up leaders in our church who betrayed and abused their power and actually did not do servant leadership, but were holding authority and power over others in a way where they were using them in ways that are very evil. And let's call it what it is. And the question continued to come up in this conference on evangelization. How can we evangelize in a culture which looks at the Catholic Church and our past leaders who in the last, you know, few decades have been you know, we had so many models of sinners. How can we do that when they just, you know, other folks just keep bringing up these scandals? And one of the things that I reminded them of is that the first thing is, if somebody throws it in your face, well, yeah, but you had a bunch of leaders who did terrible things. The first thing you need to do is you need to agree with them. And for me, the way I react is I actually have an emotional reaction. And this is one of the times I don't think you hold back your emotional reaction. And the reason why is because it affects Catholics who are practicing their faith way more than somebody who's just out there observing the church and who isn't Catholic. Right? I mean, we're the ones who really have to suffer because of bad leadership more than anybody else.
Absolutely.
And to let that other person know, you know what? I'm angry too. And it ticks me off that we have Catholic leaders who would abuse their power and innocent people to do grave evils. And you tell somebody that and you agree with them and you let yourself get a little bit emotional for the fact that you are angry and upset and that it is intolerable that this kind of stuff should happen in a place which preaches holiness and goodness and kindness and charity. And say, but that still, the next step then is to say, but that still doesn't negate whether it is true or not, because we've always had sinners in the church. And I believe it's both a human and a divine institution. And that's part of the reason I've stayed Catholic. It's not because of the human part, it's because of the divine part. Folks, I got to tell you, I think this helps people. And the reason why is because then we can kind of toss that question out there to our listeners, to our person that we're having a dialogue with, to say, well, possibly could this be a really a divine institution as well as a human one as well?
Marcel, I want to take your question, the very question that you used on social media in this experiment. If you are a faithful Catholic disciple, please give us a call and tell us why you have stayed Catholic. Give us a call at 888-914-9149. We do have some open lines. Phil is holding. We'll be with Phil momentarily at 888-914-9149. Marcel, we need to take a short break, but we're going to continue our conversation with Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. We're talking about why you are still Catholic. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
47 minutes after the hour as we continue our conversation with Marcel Lejeune, president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. We're having a fascinating discussion about why have you stayed Catholic? So many different perspectives, and we're opening up the phone lines. Again, our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Marcel, welcome back. Phil has been hanging on for a little bit. Phil is calling us from Michigan. Phil, why have you stayed Catholic?
Well, you know, we have so many helpers. We have a whole communion of saints. We have the heavenly court, and we have Mary, the mother of God. And then we have our parents and our grandparents. And we have such a huge cloud of witnesses that all point to the divinity. They all point to a person. And then I think one of the greatest gifts that we have is perpetual Eucharistic adoration. I know I cherish my holy hour at our local parish here in Cedar, Michigan, and it is there on our knees and listening. And no, I don't hear him speak in the recesses of my heart all the time, but there are those occasions when things are really important and I need to make a good decision that he does speak. And when he does, I feel relaxed. The anxiety is gone. I can make a good decision. So, yes, our faith, it is the most important thing that we can share with others. And thank God for Relevant Radio, and I do appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Marcel, your thoughts?
Yeah, Phil, first of all, keep your eyes fixed on those great positive blessings that the Lord has given us in His church. Because all the distractions that can happen around, right, the sin of others, our own sin, the problems in society, the tendencies in culture, all those things, boy, they kind of dissolve away when you stop and you enter into prayer, right? Because you can take them to our Lord, who can help change our perspective. And so in praying to the saints and going to adoration and all those things, we remember the church is full of so many different opportunities for grace and blessing and goodness and growth, and that's what it's supposed to be about, right? And then our perspective can change to one of hope and to one of greater faith and love. And this is the point, right, is that when we focus on those things rather than just all the kind of the disturbance around us, we remember, yeah, the boat might be bobbing up and down on the seas, but Jesus is in the boat, and we can keep our eyes on Him.
Thanks so much, Phil. Jose is calling us from San Benito, Texas. Jose, welcome to Morning Air.
Hi. I just want to say that for many years, I have seen many of my friends leave the church, but I have decided to stay. And the only reason why I think I have chosen to is you know, the good judgment that the Holy Ghost gave me through baptism. I mean, I have seen many sins committed by the lay people and myself, of course, and you know, the clergy, and you know, throughout history we have many examples. But even then, I believe the Holy Ghost has given me the good judgment to understand that the church is full of good and bad people. That at the end of the day, we are the one of the churches who are the most you know, pure in the sense of what our teachings are. Well, others, you know, they're fun and happy to be sinners until they're saved. So I think, thanks to the Holy Ghost, I have remained in the Catholic Church.
Thanks, Jose. Marcel?
Yeah, Jose, first of all, you know, to my fellow Texan who lives way far south, down in South Texas in San Benito, you know, I want to say that, you know, keep it up, brother, because I know there's a lot of stuff going down in South Texas right now, and keep the faith, because it's our anchor and our rock, right? It's that thing. And I think that sometimes we can start to define Catholicism in one way, but remember that our church has over 1 billion people in it currently and has many different styles of prayer and worship and other things. So in a sense, it's got something for everybody. And when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can realize, hey, you know what? I can have a different kind of piety or personal prayer than the person next to me, and it's okay, and we're all still Catholic.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jose. Marcel, I'm always reminded by the saying that our church is not just a museum for saints. It's also a hospital for sinners, something that our Holy Father has alluded to over the years.
Yeah, and what he calls it is a field hospital, which is even different, right? Because that's out in the midst of a war. And I had the honor of being able to talk to Dr. Peter Kraft about culture war, so this is fresh on my mind recently. And I will tell you that I think that one of the ways we start to get, if we start to really focus on the battle and then the war around us, we forget, you know, oh my gosh, there's lives being lost, the church is losing people, et cetera. But when you go into the field hospital, what you also remember is that there are lives that are being saved. There are people who are being renewed. There is healing taking place. There are people out there who are willing to go into the midst of the battle and to drag people out so that a soul's getting plucked out of hell. And that's the way we need to also start to operate as lay people who are in the world. Our job as a laity is to be the voice and the hands and the feet of Christ that take this gospel message of good news about His church and about Him to a world that desperately needs to know that there is salvation possible, that it comes to us through the sacraments of the church, that the teachings are true, and that there is goodness and beauty in what the church has to offer. And it starts with us doing that. It starts with us being the voice and the hands and the feet that go out to the world. So I encourage everybody listening, don't be afraid to tell these stories, not just even on Relevant Radio, but tell the story to your coworkers and your neighbors. You know what? I love being Catholic. If it comes up that you're Catholic, tell them why you're Catholic. You know, be bold in the assertion, because the world needs to know that, because we need to be that field hospital that's out there in the midst of the battle, right there at work, at, you know, in your neighborhood, at the schools, wherever you are, where people are finding healing so that they can come to the Lord and have new life, because that's what it's all about.
Marcel, we have time for one more call. Roger is calling us from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Roger, welcome. What is your comment?
Well, when I was growing up, and I went through the Catholic school system to eighth grade. Then I went to the public school. Then I strayed away. And when I was about 21 years old, I went to an evangelist meeting for about 2 weeks. Gave up everything I was doing wrong and came to Jesus. And then as I was being taught in this Protestant church, there was a doctrine teacher that went away and came back Catholic from Europe. And so this person taught me the end of John 6, the bread of life. And after that, my wife and I came back to the Catholic Church. We came back because of the transubstantiation and the succession of the popes. I went to the library and I looked up all the successions of the popes, found the unbroken chain. And after that, where else can you go? Like Jesus said to Peter, Peter said to Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. Where can we go?
Exactly. We have about 30 seconds left. One final thought, Marcel.
Well, let's praise the Lord, right? Let's stop and let's just give thanks to God for the gift of His church. Because if we do stop and think about it, none of us have anywhere else to go, in the sense of, and the Lord's got it all planned out in His providence and His goodness, that each one of us is Catholic. And that's a blessing, and let's give him thanks today.
Thanks so much, Marcel, for being with us. Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples at CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. Thank you, Marcel.
God bless.
God bless you, too. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Amen Crackers by Pamela Perry Blaine. Have you ever heard of Amen Crackers? Well, I hadn't either until my granddaughter, Amanda, came for a visit. Amanda's not quite two, but ever since her parents taught her to pray, she always prays for each individual thing on her plate. One evening at supper time, Amanda was in the high chair, and I went over to the kitchen counter to fill her plate. Her mother put three small crackers on her high chair to give her something to eat while I fixed her plate. I watched as she bowed her head and touched the first cracker with her index finger and said, Amen, cracker. She touched the next cracker and said, Amen, cracker, and then she went to the last cracker, touching it and again saying, Amen, cracker. She thought the tiny crackers were her supper, so she was saying her prayers. Amanda has figured out that prayers have an amen in them, but sometimes she gets the amen at the beginning instead of the end of her prayers. I got to thinking about the word amen, and I found that in Hebrew the word amen means to confirm, and it's spoken to state, so be it. When we end our prayers with amen, we are reaffirming our dedication to God. Sometimes church members or congregations say amen to show confirmation or agreement when something powerful is spoken from the Word of God. Amanda's prayer might seem very simple, but maybe she wasn't so far off in what she was doing, because she would have been confirming her dedication to God first of all instead of at the end. At any rate, we can gain wisdom from the mouths of babes. I learned several things from Amanda and her amen crackers. I learned that prayer should be a priority. I learned that whatever is on my plate, I should be thankful for it. I learned I should keep it simple and be specific. I've learned to have faith and trust God even when all I have is three crackers. I learned it's best to tend to my own crackers that have been provided for me and allow God to fill my plate. I've learned to be patient. Even if I'm sitting in a high chair, I can't see what's going on in God's kitchen from where I sit. I learned to thank God for the small things and not complain even if all I have is crackers. I've learned it doesn't matter if you get the prayer backwards. God hears our hearts. Have you thanked God for the crackers in your life? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you.
Finally, let me tell you why I think it's great to be Catholic. We have the fullness of the Christian faith, the church founded by Jesus Christ. We have seven sacraments, 73 books of the Bible, 2,000 years of apostolic tradition, the successor of Peter, the Blessed Mother, and the saints. We have it all. We count our blessings that we are Catholic. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.